Our guests today are Michael Thomas Goodrich, the author of numerous books. Just before the break, you mentioned Summer, 1945, Germany, Japan, and the Harvest of Hate. It's a must-read book, as well as Hellstorm, The Death of Nazi Germany, 1944 through 1947. His website is thomasgoodrich.com. And our other guest is Paul English, who is a narrator of Hellstorm. His website is hellstormaudiobook.com. And while Hitler was putting men to work, he encouraged them to stay home and have children. While he was putting 7,000 men to work, there was a big depression here in America under FDR, and of course it was totally different than what was happening in Germany. Germany was moving ahead without the help of bankers, without usury, and it was a wonderful thing. Alrighty, we do have some phone calls. Shall we take some calls?
Works for me.
Okay. Let's see. Where are our calls? Okay, we have John in Texas. John.
Well, you have Mark here.
Oh, Mark's in Philadelphia. We have John in Texas first. He called in first. Do we
have... Hello. You know,
yes,
James Corbett of the Corbett Report.
Hello? Pardon me, John?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, you know James Corbett of the Corbett Report?
Yes.
He has come out with a three-part series called the World War One Conspiracy, which gives the true background and causes of the First World War. And he laid it at the feet of a secret society that was created by Cecil Rhodes in the early 1890s and seconded by Lord Milner.
Could you come closer to your mic or something?
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes. That's better.
All right. World War. It's called the World War One Conspiracy, and he claims. I have two questions, really. He claims that this Milner group was the one that set up both the Boer War and the First World War with Germany, because Germany was becoming economically. There were two objects to it. It was to destroy Germany as a military and economic rival to the British Empire, and it was to recover America to the British Empire in a de facto sort of way, either an alliance, in order to bring that Britain might and America would in unison create a new world order that would rule the world. And to do that, They created the Federal Reserve to finance it. And here comes my second question. About 350 miles south of Halifax, Nova Scotia, there is a shipwreck broken in two, whose true identity is not as seriously come into question. And it has been suggested by some, one of them being John Hamer, that this ship was sunk on purpose as part of an insurance scam, but this was later morphed into a mass murder directed at getting rid of three men who were opposed to the creation of the Federal Reserve and the facilitation of World War One, They were opposed to the inflation that it would cause. It would threaten their own fortunes. Of course, was this, first of all, was this ship, the same ship that the ship that sank on April the 15th, 1912, and the wreck thereof, the same as that one that was launched on May 31st, 1911? And was it sunken deliberately as part of an attempt to create the Federal Reserve?
Gentlemen?
And your comment.
Well, I think the Titanic, is that what you're referring to? I guess there's certainly was it and what was it? Was it the Vanderbilts that were on it, or somebody else? I can't remember.
But, Guggenheim, John Jacob Astor, Benjamin Guggenheim, and Isidore Strauss.
Yeah, it was the Astors as well. I think they're big. They were definitely in opposition to the formation of the Fed. That's true. And I believe that it seems that there's a great deal of evidence to suggest that the actual ship that sank was not the Titanic. It was its sister ship, which had, they swapped them around because they'd been in a there was a massive collision in the shipyards of Harland and Wolff a couple of years before. And there's a whole series of sort of, yeah.
It was with a battle cruiser called the HMS Hawk.
That's right. There was some kind of a maneuvering thing.
It was the result of a miscalculation on the part of the helmsman of the Hawk. The rudder was jammed and it got sucked in by the Olympic's wake and it crashed into its stern area and created a huge triangular hole in it that broke the screw mechanism, or was it the crankshaft and the screw, and it also bent the keel, which was the key part.
That's right. Yeah, it was particularly badly damaged, I think, according to many of the reports I've seen as well. So, and obviously it was to someone's advantage. You know, you always ask that one, Ki Bono, who benefits from those people going down? They cleared the way. They would have been very strong oppositional forces to the formation of the Fed, of that there's no doubt. The other point you mentioned about Cecil Rhodes and the Round Table and Milner, that's all pretty true. Milner was the head of that steering committee. Rhodes died relatively young. Rhodes did have ambitions that were pretty big. But you also have to understand, or at least take into account, I would suggest, that who they were bound in with financially. Lord Rothschild was part of the group. So I suspect there were many sort of crossovers. But there's an account from the American ambassador who was in London about 1906, and I think he's talking to Lord Grey. And Grey went on to be a pivotal figure during World War One. And there's some kind of, I'm going to muller this when I paraphrase it, but... the point you raised about Germany's industrial might is absolutely true. And basically, by the time we got to the late 1800s, early 1900s, the effectiveness of British industry had been surpassed by the effectiveness of German industry. This is correct. And so there was a discussion along the lines of the American ambassador, whoever it was saying, well, why don't you just compete with them? And I think it's Grey who said, no, we'll have a war instead. And this is that sort of hubris, that arrogance that creeps in. And I think Lord Acton can come in now where, you know, the phrase power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. So they were definitely a pivotal part of the causing of all that kind of stuff. But I suspect there were other forces at play as well. I personally maintain, as a Brit, that there was no such thing as the British Empire. That might sound a bit cack-handed, but what I mean by that is there wasn't an empire that was by, of, or for the benefit of the British people at
right.
all.
Right, oh, right, absolutely.
It didn't exist. If I'd have been alive back then, I would have been out on some field shooting some poor sod, or he would have been shooting me, and we wouldn't have had much choice about it, and that's what was going on, and there... wives and children were back at home in the 1800s in these terrible workhouses, mm-hmm. Which Dickens describes. So, you know, it's not all jolly Brits having a great time and we were all rolling around in money. It's nothing like that. Mm-hmm. And so it's an empire of the City of London. of which Rhodes and Milner were thick as thieves with that lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I think once you're in a world like that, you get a disproportionate sense of your own abilities. And there's a certain type of British person that is like that. And they're very, very different from the likes of the British people that I know.
World War One added, I think, 1 million square miles to the British Empire, did it not?
It may well have done, whatever that means, but yeah, it probably did. The Queen apparently owns a lot of land, but she doesn't do very much with it. So, you know, if you want to grow potatoes on it, get stuck in is what I would say. I mean, I don't think she's going to come around and cause you any trouble, but yes. Yeah,
also,
probably.
Lord Asquith, who was the Prime Minister at the time of the Titanic sinking, I think also at the start of World War One, he was a member of this Milner, of this Rhodes Milner group.
Yes.
And he was, and there's some that suggested that he was, or was he an accessory after the fact, or was he in on it from the beginning through the machinations of the Rhodes group and its connections with the Rothschilds and indirectly, and his, and of course, their other front man in the U.S., J.P. Morgan, who owned IMF, International Mercantile Marine, which also owned the White Star Line and was
right.
also engaged with Harland and Wolff, correct?
Yes. Yeah, I would view Asquith as being on the second or third tier of power there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, really. I mean, you know, like we're saying, Tom was saying earlier, that, you know, you've not been in charge of your own country in America for quite a while. Well, make that even longer for over here. Because we've had a central bank since 1694, so you can start round about then, right? That the you know ever since that thing kicked in, this nation has been at war with someone every single year except for 3 years, I think, over the last 350.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not aware of British people getting up on a morning and going, God, we must have a war with someone. You see, there's a force. There's a force organizing and bossing us around. And after they've made use of British manpower, obviously it made sense to make use of American manpower. You've still got the job. It's not a job that you want, but you've got it. And we're fighting the same thing. Of that, there's no doubt.
Right.
If you had any opinion about the whatever ship that was sunk there, when was it? Do you think that it was part of all this?
Yeah,
I think it's irrelevant whether. So what? That's my opinion. People don't understand that that if you look at the real history of how the we were talking about the Federal Reserve and all that. That was done by Congress, and there was a quorum. Nobody went home during the Christmas break. It wasn't passed without a full quorum of both the House and the Senate. So they needed to do that in order to form the Federal Reserve. They knew exactly what they were doing, and so you really have to lay the blame where it is deserved to be laid, and that is with the government of this country as well as the government of Britain, I won't say Great Britain, of Britain, and there was a meeting where they decided that they would work together and pool the resources, pool the loot that they acquired from engaging in war as allies together. And that was held in 1899, I believe, or maybe earlier. And it was the first Zionist Congress.
1897.
Okay. Yeah. That's when it was held.
It was in Basel, Switzerland, wasn't it?
Yeah. All righty. We need to move on to some other callers. So thank you very much for calling in.
Thank you, John.
Okay.
Take care. Alrighty, we have. Who do we have? Mark in Philadelphia. Mark.
Good afternoon, Deanna. Good Good afternoon, Michael, and also Paul. That curious gene you talked about, Michael, I definitely have it. Just very briefly, I was born in the Midwest. Turns out that a couple years ago, I knew I was German. I had German blood, but I didn't know much about my father's side, who was full-blooded German. Turns out that, here's the thing. Does truth matter? Does history matter? Does personal heritage, the heritage of our families, matter? I say it does, all in the name of love. And does can love exist without truth? So here we go. I turned out a couple years ago, I found out my great-great-grandfather was here in Pennsylvania, where I'm at now, and he was in the Civil War. He was mustered in, you know, he was drafted, okay, fighting for Pennsylvania for the, supposedly, later they told us it was about slavery, freeing the slaves. Anyway, he was in the Battle of the Wilderness. First day of the battle, he was captured, taken to Andersonville, Georgia, to Andersonville prison, and he was there for 11 months. He survived hell for 11 months in a 65-acre open-air prison where there was no food, no water, or little thereof at any point. But he survived. So, and then I also found out that my father, my natural father, was in World War II at the end. He was just old enough to be drafted. And then my grandfather, his father, went in 2 days after Pearl Harbor, and he was just young enough. 1 month away, he would have been 42, and the age cutoff was 42. Now, they served all the flag waving for freedom and all of that, but all of these lies in the name of war. The Civil War was a lie. That was a lie. All of these lies. Evil, 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 evil. And now, in the churches in America, we have them talking about love and all this. We have churches that are promoting World War III, okay? And they've been lied to. All these lies have been missed. I went down a rabbit hole. I didn't read Hellstorm. I watched the visual presentation of Hellstorm. And I've learned a lot through you, Diana. I wanted to say that I wanted to ask, and this is a thing, Deanna, I'm sorry I called you Diana, it's Deanna. I wanted to ask you, Deanna, you know, we got a lot of people talking about the Nazis this, the Nazis that. Well, then we find out that the term Nazi is actually
You cut out on us. That's not a term that the Germans applied to themselves. Are we still on?
Yeah, well, I'm still here.
What happened?
We lost our caller.
We lost our caller.
At the moment.
Yeah. The so-called Civil War was actually the first successful Marxist revolution in the world. And a lot of the people that served on the North had come out of Europe after the failure of their efforts in 1848 to instill communism in Europe or Marxism, and so they came over here and fought on the North with the North. Okay, so we lost Mark. Maybe he'll call back in. Meanwhile, let's take Daryl in Austin.
Hello, good afternoon. I have a question about your guests are very knowledgeable about the past and have dug up many details and the causes of a lot of these problems. Could they put on their glasses and are they at liberty to talk about what they see present day as the causes and the problems now to associate it with similar things in the past?
Okay, we're going to a quick break and we'll be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead to change the bad to good.
All righty, we are back with Mike Goodrich and Paul English, and we had a gentleman on the phone that asked a question. That was Daryl, correct?
Bill, yes. Yes, to your guest.
Okay, what was your question?
The question is, the past has been exposed very explicitly by your guest. Are they at liberty to speak about what they see today since they've done such good research in the past?
I'm a little confused. Is it Bill or Daryl we're speaking
with? I'm not sure.
Well, sir?
Bill. Oh, Bill.
Okay, they have you as Daryl, but okay.
I do tend to look ahead, try to see ahead. I suppose I've been given a bit of a vision since I'm older and I've worked with history. And, you know, if you understand what happened in the past and what's happening in the present, be more likely, I think, to look ahead and see what's probably going to happen in the future. Mm-hmm. To be quite honest, I see better times ahead for us. It's some of the things that I've seen occurring right now around the world, especially in the white world, of course. That's where my focus is. There is some extremely good signs for hope ahead. Most of it has to do with indefatigable people like Deanna, people just like Deanna, and the internet. And it's there, and people are accessing it. People are learning truth. People are becoming outraged. And they're the sort of people, this is the better part of it, the sort of people who act on this sense of outrage, they understand that this is a very bad place we're in right now. The world, the white world especially, we're facing annihilation, extinction. And more white people are starting to figure this out. And it's not just any type of white people. These are our best and brightest who are figuring this out. And I won't go too far with this prediction, but let's face it, all of us have lived through the Berlin Wall. And that's how quickly history can change. It can happen overnight, and it still can. Even though at times it may seem improbable, it's the sort of thing, we talk about critical mass and a tripwire that will actually cause an explosion. That is not too far in the future, as far as I know, as far as I can see. It's something that's it's viable. It could happen. And yes, there will be a radical transformation in society once this happens, because as I mentioned, the best and the brightest are now on our side, coming to us. And these are the people who can make change in the world. It may not, the kind of change we want may not be all that we hope for initially. But let's face it, how many, let's just say 10 years ago, who could have predicted someone like Trump, who said all the right things? Unfortunately, he's not doing too much of the right things right now. But nevertheless, we were voting for a man who was saying what we wanted to hear. And we thought, even if he can't deliver on what he's saying, most of it, at least it's going to give us the time to think and to do and to act and to gather our forces. And mostly that's what has happened. Now, in other words, I can't really say with accuracy what will happen 5 years from now. But I'm saying stay in this fight, because we're winning. Do we have the time to actually claim victory? That's the scary part, that I don't want to go saying something negative here. But I hope I've in part answered some of your question. I don't see doom and despair ahead, quite honestly. I see just the opposite. And people like yourself who are listening to this program or calling in, that's an action in itself. And we're getting millions of people just like this now who are starting to take charge, tired of the same old that we've been going through. And it's a different sort of person that's coming along right now. So please keep the optimism high in your mind, in your soul, in your heart. Don't give up. Don't let somebody else, don't say, well, we're going to win this thing because a historian thinks we are. No, it means that you have to redouble your efforts. Fight even harder to make it happen sooner.
Right.
Paul, you got a thought on that?
Well, yeah, I think these are actually very encouraging times, even though it may still yet get worse before it gets better. But the reason why I'm encouraged is that I think that right at the very root of things, something's shifting. And I really do think that. Over here, of course, we've got this, we have a situation where democracy absolutely died on March the 29th. And like a little shockwave that's building, it's rippling out across the whole nation. And even bovine-minded people that pay very little attention to anything much other than whatever are beginning to get it instinctively that we don't live in a democratic country. And I'm quite pleased about that, to be quite honest. It's a start. Very good.
Good. All righty. Thank you, Bill in Austin. We'll be right back, and we'll take Mike in Kentucky. Be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon, my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
It starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead.
Righty, welcome back. This is Deanna. And our guests are Mike and Paul. And we're talking about Hellstorm, the audiobook, and we're taking callers. And we have Mike in Kentucky. Mike? Yo, Mike.
Afternoon. Okay, yes. Now we can hear you. Now you can
okay.
hear me. So, you know, Assad, he's a eye doctor. He's, you know, he's obviously an intelligent guy. And whatever his purposes are there in Syria, I don't think, you know, whatever he wants to do, it's a, you know, it's something like a 1,400-year-old culture just going from the Muslims. But now, obviously, there's a lot of embedded Christians down there, and I saw a picture, and I'd never heard this. I went all the way through school, and I feel like, you know, in America, we're supposed to have a free, adequate education, and I have to wonder how many people went all the way through school, through college, got a degree or two, and never heard the term Holodomor. Has anybody heard that term, Holodomor?
Yes, of course.
Well, there's a picture of a Bashar al-Assad somewhere in, I think, East Germany, and this is how I found out about it. Somebody passed it around as a meme on social media. Fortunately, it was not censored like they're trying to do. A bunch of stuff is being sent down Orwell's memory hole, so this is the exact type of stuff they're trying to erase from knowledge, the Holodomor. Now, Assad laid a lamp, flower pot with a lamp in it on a memorial to all the German Christians that were killed in the Holodomor. Now, this predates the Third Reich. I don't know if you guys know about much. Do you have any idea on the numbers? I mean, that would make it, generationally, there would be living memory of people from 1917 through to whenever Hitler came to power that would have had friends and relatives and just heard about all of the Bolshevik murders that happened.
Right.
You know, in the tens of millions. So it would not be very hard at all to rally a bunch of Germans to demonize Jewish people if they knew that they were out there killing Christians in the Soviet, you know, revolution. And
well, a lot
there's
of
a Solzhenitsyn. There's a quote by Solzhenitsyn.
That were settled in that area that suffered from that horrid starvation and enforced famine were originally from Germany.
Right. So, I mean, that had to have traveled by word of mouth, even if it was kept out of the media. And so for, mm-hmm. you know, 20 years, people knew about it, you know, going into the 30s. But the Solzhenitsyn quote is very ominous, too, if you've heard that quote, where he says, the reason you don't know about this is because the media is in the hands of the perpetrators.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I mean, you put those two events together. If you know somebody, and you can hit them with it, because I tell you what, we're going to have to hang together. We're all going to hang separate here, and they are trying to get rid of any independent media that there is out there. They're also trying to eliminate any consumption of media that is not in your X key score file. If you know about X key score this week, there's two different federal rulings this week around the Fourth Amendment here in America. For those who are listening overseas who don't know, the Fourth Amendment is about being secure in your personal papers and effects and having privacy in your personal life. And the government can't just kick in your door like the Redcoats did with a general writ and just rifle through your stuff on a fishing expedition looking for anything that they can take you down with or cause you problems with or cause you to go spend all your money on in court trying to defend yourself because you have to have an approved lawyer and spend $5,000 defending yourself because of something you posted online, okay, about knowing about the Holodomor and you're labeled anti-Semitic. We know about Ernst Zundel, and I have to wonder, you know, I was offered a free trip to Israel to go over there and see some of the sites, but given the stuff that I've posted online, once I get in their jurisdiction, are they going to arrest me? I have no idea in this day and age. What I was getting at is with the media in the hands of the perpetrators and you know, they're profiling everybody. These two rulings this week heightens the absurdity that we are now in America with our government saying that in one federal district court in the upper Midwest, the Fourth Amendment is violated when a police officer chalks your tires to see if you've been parking somewhere too long. But this other judge says, we cannot rule on the secret surveillance stuff because it would reveal, you know, it would reveal sources and methods, and it would be a violation of some kind of, I don't forget what the legal mechanism he used, but basically you have to be able to prove that you are damaged in some way by this surveillance that they're doing. And for a decade, I've been trying to get the Electronic Frontier Foundation to look into my case where this has been happening. Like, and people don't realize it, but the phones, the shadow banning that's going on social media can happen with the phones. And so I've documented all kinds of fun stuff with that. And so we really have to soberly, I think, realize that they will give you enough rope to hang yourself out here on these social media platforms and even on the phones, because within 10 words, when you say it on the phone, your voice print is cataloged by these computers. The Israelis sold Boeing, an aircraft company, you would think, that they sold something called NARUS, N-A-R-U-S. It's, and these machines are in every node that or fiber optic data goes through, and the Israelis get a copy of everything that the NSA sees. So when the NSA in the last few weeks say, oh, well, we deleted a bunch of stuff that we didn't have the authority to collect, the Israelis still have it. what's her name, smashes her blackberries with a hammer. The Israelis still have it. They have everything they need to blackmail and control our government.
Mm.
And that's not just in this country. It's not just in this country. That's all around the world, because National Geographic in 2015 printed a fairly accurate diagram, cartoonish it may have been, of the world's fiber optic network. There's a footnote at the bottom in that centerfold diagram that says all of the world's phone metadata is less than 1% of what they're collecting. So that's the reason Bluffdale has to be so big, and all the rest of the Anglo-American Empire computer complexes that Israel is a part of, and William Binney and Snowden don't mention that. It's sin by omission. When they talk about the Five Eyes, when they talk about this surveillance network, this dragnet that's going on, they curiously do not mention Israel. But Snowden leaked that, and Assange, I think, also confirmed it, that whatever they're gathering, Israel gets a copy of through this network of NARIS devices. So they've stylized
it.
They've done it. I've got a heck of a book there. If they would let me publish it, I don't think they would. I can't find a lawyer to help me out. 20 years of this I've been dealing with, going back, I think about 6 years before the Patriot Act was passed. I noticed what was going on, and I posted a video in 2009 on all the American broadcasting ABC network affiliates that I could, and NBC, because I had access to what they call their FTP, file transfer protocol, folders for both commercial production and news production. Not one damn reporter called me back and said, quit posting this, because I kept going back and posting it. It was called Bandwidth Bandits. When I called Electronic Frontier Foundation to try to tell them about this, they said, oh, we don't have the bandwidth to handle your case. And this case this week, the Electronic Frontier Foundation says, in order to sue the government, you're going to have to prove that you're damaged with it. Well, by golly, I've got people that are willing to say they've, and numerous hundreds of witnesses to this happening, because I broadcast it on the local TV station that I've been running since the late 90s, basically. And so the fact that I can't find a lawyer that's got any cojones or whatever to take this case just shows how much control there is now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I finally got William Binney to message me back on a certain forum. J. Kirk Weib won't message me back. Larry Klayman won't message me back. And these are guys that are supposed to be hot, you know, into this whistleblowing network, you know, that they're making money on the speech circuit or whatever. And William Binney says, well, a lot of people have tried to find lawyers and can't. So I can't. He says he can't find a lawyer to help with his stuff. But, I mean, Larry Klayman helped get him out of his, where they were trying to claim that he was leaking classified documents, and they showed that it was documents that had already been declassified and the prosecutors had lied to the court. So that got him immunity, supposedly. But now this, what I'm getting at is, if you're going after this, you need to be fully aware that they are, you know, there's hardly no way to be anonymous anymore with your political views. And so, if like the whole of DeMar, like say, I've got two college degrees, I went all the way through school, nobody ever mentioned this. And I was always curious, how did they get the Germans to demonize the Jews so bad that they would do this? If in fact it's true, then you find out Auschwitz plaque has been altered twice, and the Red Cross didn't say those numbers don't match up, and you can't even talk about these facts.
Right. I think the numbers is 276,000 people died totally.
That includes work camps, retarded people. They rounded up homosexuals because that, I guess, early on in the Soviet Union, homosexuality was not banned, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it became banned later, but it was because it was the Jewish people that were, I guess, that hated Christians. By the way, that's one of the things that Solzhenitsyn points out. These people that did the Bolshevik Revolution hated Christians.
Mike, you should email me.
No, I might. The Solzhenitsyn quote's pretty easy to find.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's, I just, it's weird because I came across that Holodomor memorial thing that Assad did and the quote from Solzhenitsyn within about a month of each other. So wow. I just like light bulbs went off in my head. I'm like, oh, you know. So, the other thing I want to mention was the whole thing about the Civil War was a fraud. How can you declare a quorum when most of Congress went home for Christmas? I don't think all of Congress knew what was happening.
They didn't.
With the federal.
They didn't go
yeah,
home.
Yeah, it was a fraud.
The whole thing was a fraud.
You have to also look at the Civil War. How could they declare that the Union was dissolved? They still had a quorum.
The Union was not dissolved. The whole Civil War was just a Marxist revolution.
And all the ten planks are in place. All the ten planks are in place. What ten plank is not in place in this country, and it's been that way since at least the 40s. And what is that? The big act that created the headless fourth branch of government, the Administrative Procedures Act, and the victory tax. So we've fully in place all ten planks of the Communist Manifestos for 80 years. I mean, it's just undeniable. The Marxists have taken over. They control the media. You don't get taught this stuff in school. I still have a standing offer for a silver dollar if somebody can bring me my 7th and 8th grade American government book that did not print the entire 14th Amendment. It only printed the first paragraph.
The original 13th Amendment is very interesting, too. But we do,
move on. Okay, I've held two copies in my hands of the 13th Amendment on hemp paper and rebound volumes, and they were two separate volumes, so
absolutely.
They were published in 1822 by Kentucky. It was ratified. Mm-hmm. I'll let you go.
Right. Hey, thanks. Okay, let's take Joe in Indiana. Joe is gone? Okay, let's take Erica in Illinois.
Hello.
Yes, welcome.
Hi. Thank you for having me. I want to first say thank you to all of you, Deanna and Mike and Paul, for putting the time in to share the real truth. And I know that oftentimes it makes you unpopular with people. So I first wanted to extend that, my gratitude.
Erica. I think I know who Erica is. She's a lady who has her own website, a live stream called The Harsh Reality. Am I wrong?
You are correct. It's uh-huh. actually on YouTube. And I have my main channel is called The Harsh Reality, but it's got a strike, and I'm on my backup channel, The Harsh Reality, and then number 3. But they don't the truth that I like to speak, but that's okay.
Yes, a hard-hitting program. Erica so kindly had me on a month or two ago. It's really hard. Erica's, she's the about as strong as they make them.
Well, thank you. You're very nice. I wanted to kind of reflect a little bit about an earlier caller when he was talking about, and you were responding to, the what white people are facing now, and it kind of really hit me hard when I found out that before the World Wars, there was Europe made up 30% of the world's population, and now it's only 8% of the world's population, and that is just striking. There's no doubt that the clergy plan is in full effect, and I refuse to accept defeatism because that's what they want. But the reason why they're hitting everybody so hard, especially with laws like, for example, H.R. 336 to make it illegal to boycott Israel, is because they're afraid, because people are waking up. and people are searching for the truth. And
you're right.
You know,
these are acts of desperation, acts of fear. These aren't acts of strength. No. If you were strong, right. truly strong, you wouldn't need to do such radical, radical things that's going on right now. So let's take heart that's in right. that alone.
Right. Our job, that's I think, right. in many ways, is to laugh at them. I'm right. quite serious. They're not to be taken yeah. seriously. Like this goofball that's just been, you know, whining on at the United Nations, and then this law passed in Florida, and if you even think something now, you are to be detonated on a field or something, or whatever garbage they're going to go with. Our job is right. to laugh at them. Seriously, this... And the other thing that I'm taking a lot of encouragement from is we are now, more and more of us are talking about white people worldwide. We never used to talk right. like that. We didn't need to. That's we
true.
Do now.
True.
We're just, it's like the strands are pulling it together. There's nothing they can do about this. There's nothing we can do about it anyway, which is great. It's just nature in operation. It's just going to come back like a tidal wave.
State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court. And, you know, it's funny how... Oh, is somebody talking? I can't.
Hello? Are we having a break or no? Okay. Go ahead, Erica.
Oh, sorry. That's okay. Okay. I was just saying, you know, and it you know what, it does really take a strong will to stand up and face all the criticism and all the pressure people are gonna put on you. You know, number one, you know, and it's for various reasons, but, you know, a lot of people don't want to know the truth, but once you see the truth, you can't unsee it. Others, they'll maybe be jealous of your strength, and they'll try to subvert you, and you know, there's so many things that go on, but you know what? I draw my strength from Thomas's, you know, like Thomas Goodrich's book, Hellstorm, and I think about the horrors that those people went through, and nothing can come even close in that I would experience in my life that would even come close to what they had to go through. So I think about this. When I wake up, it's in the back of my mind every day, and I've made it almost like my life's mission to continue on. I mean, I've just experienced you know, some major drama, I'll just say, because I, you know, I didn't like something that I saw, and I spoke up about it, and being attacked, but I don't care. You know, that's fine. But, you know, we can't allow, we have to kind of, we have to not just talk the talk, we have to walk the walk, and we have to stick together and support each other when things like this happen, and also keep in mind that there's a lot of people out there who are willing to join in this battle. They just maybe need a little bit of help towards what the mm-hmm. truth is. Mm-hmm. And so, again, I want to thank the three of you for providing those platforms and the time. You know, the emotional effort that you all put in to help bring this truth out, you know, it certainly has changed my life.
Thank you.
I wish I could say that, well, honestly, there's nothing else I personally can do. This is my niche in life, and it's hard for me to take a thank you for something that right now is totally natural. I mean, it's sort of like, I think you know what I'm saying, Erica. It's way beyond me now. This is something vastly more important than my life or my death. Mm-hmm. It's something greater, vastly greater than that. And you're right about us coalescing, circling the wagons for one another, and fighting to the death if necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Fighting to the very right. end, because what they did to our German brothers and sisters during World War II, they would love to do to us right now.
Yes, they would.
This is. You don't have to look too far to know that what they're doing right, right. now on college campuses, in the media, in the organizations like the SPLC, ADL, whatever, That's what they're working for, desperately working for, is our demise. It's not going to happen. Like I say, it's an act of desperation. Unfortunately, they needed more subtlety. They don't have it in their DNA. Now we're all starting to see it. It's all becoming perfectly clear. And guess what? That's what I mean by be positive, be optimistic, because we are going to win this. So many of us, just like Erica.
There's another point I wanted to make. Think about all the years that they had to put into this process of propaganda and brainwashing.
Yes.
And let's look at how fast the waking up is compared to that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right. And the waking up process is a hell of a lot faster than all those years that they put in. Yeah, it's been over 100 years now that they've been doing this.
And one way you could pity them, because all that work, all that time, all that money, all that energy, all those decades, and now we're doing it in days and weeks and months, really quickly, supersonic speed here. No one foresaw the internet, cyberspace, the information highway. No one foresaw that, and that's good.
Right.
They're living in the days of smoke signals. We're living in the day of the future right now.
Right. So I do feel optimistic. I do, you know, don't get me wrong. I do have days where, you know, I might feel down and whatnot, and that's normal, and that's okay. I also remind myself, you know, let's take a good look around, and I'm like, no, things are gonna be okay as long as we keep on. And hell, you know what? I don't care. I'm gonna fight. I'm fighting till the end. So no, whatever happens, happens. And you know, so. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Erica, are you there?
Oh, okay. No? I'm sure. I wasn't. My phone was going out. I'm sorry. As far as my guess, my point then is there any plans, like maybe in the future, of something else? You know, I sometimes will hear, you know, there's organizations or this or that, or you know, if. What do you think it might happen like in the next 5 years as far as resistance and whatnot springing up?
Was that directed to me, Erica?
Anybody. Any either, you know, three of you. Just wanted to...
I don't know really, Erica. Yeah. I think it's just a matter of process. It's just a matter of the process. Oh, and here's the process kicking in right now.
Yes.
Thanks, Erica.
What a pity.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And other callers. What else can I say? It's fabulous. And you've done a great job. Thank you so much, both of you.
Thank you, Deanna, so much.
Nice being here, Deanna. Yeah, been great.
Let's do this again.
Good.
Okay. Take care, guys.
Bye-bye.
All righty.
Bye for now. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, listeners. Chat with you next week. Bye-bye.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product! It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s, along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.